Hey, everybody, I'm Hal Eisner. I don't know if you're like me, but I really like to go on big ships. I really do love cruises. Me and my family have probably been on about 17 of them since the babies were, seriously, were babies and diapers, just months old. And, you know, we've always found that to be a very relaxing, enjoyable sort of experience. It also gets you away from the clock, and at least in my business, the clock is what I'm needing to vacation against because I'm always up against deadlines. In this program, we've got somebody who really knows what he's talking about from Carnival Cruise Lines. Okay, joining me now is Mike Julius. He's the Vice President of Field Sales for Carnival Cruise Line. You know, Mike, you know, we've talked. Cruising is a big deal anymore, and it's so big that there are 100 new ships coming on board from various cruise lines?
Absolutely. Over the next couple of years, there's going to be at least 100 new ships that will hit the waters and in various areas, whether they're river cruise or ocean cruise, warm water.
You've been doing this for a while, right?
Yeah, 30 years.
Have you ever seen this many ships come online at one time?
Not like this. Traditionally, there's new ships that come out every year, but I think everyone is seeing the value and having a product that people like. And cruising really is the best vacation.
But why do you think that is? That the demand would be such that there would be a need for as many as 100 ships? And we're not talking about little towboats. We're talking about ships that hold thousands of people.
I think if you put it in perspective, let me just give you some figures here. There are about 10 million people from North America that take a cruise. Orlando has 70 million visitors a year. Las Vegas has over 100,000 visitors a year. We look at this as under demand and not over capacity. So, people are finally catching on that cruising really is the best vacation.
One of the things I want to talk about is why cruising. I know that from my own personal experience, and I've probably been on 17 cruises, give or take, over the years, because I really love being out on the water. But that's a personal thing for me. Mm-hmm. But what is, you know, there's so many different ways now to vacation, to spend your time, places to go, things to do. And yet you're indicating great growth, so much so that we have all these new ships coming on board. What is it? I mean, what is the thing that's kind of triggered all this interest?
Well, I think, you know, we've had millions of happy customers return from cruising and what they do, and on all lines, not just the Carnival line, but on all lines. And they come back, they tell their friends, their family, their neighbors, their coworkers, what a great vacation. So it's that third party endorsement that has really helped propel the cruise industry beyond our wildest dreams at this point.
But to a lot of people, it's a very expensive proposition. I mean, okay, we've talked about this before that, you know, $100, $110, whatever, is a sort of a daily per diem that covers your food, it covers your room. Maybe you're out of the door for about under $1,000 for a seven mm-hmm. night cruise. Mm-hmm. But then you've got all the expenses of shore excursions, spending money at tourist spots. It can really get up there.
Well, there are certain things. First of all, I think it's important to note that if you go on a cruise vacation, what you pay up front for are your accommodations, your meals, your entertainment, your activities, exciting ports of call. Beyond that, if you wanted to have a special dinner in a specialty dining room or a treatment in the spa or maybe take a tour in one of these islands, those are additional costs. But I think when you look at a vacation that offers as much as any cruise vacation does, it's better than any other vacation out there. And and when you look at the satisfactory level of a cruise vacation, and there are people that come back and say, listen, I would do it again and again. The average satisfaction is 9.8, whereas in land vacations, it's a little over 7.
So 9.8 out of 10.
Exactly.
Right. And so one of the things I've noticed as a consumer is I really shop these things. There are all kinds of agencies. There are all kinds of special deals out there. I know that cruise lines have their own in-house agency to sell cruises and cabins and all of that. Well, what's the best way to shop these things?
Without a doubt, visit your local travel agent. And I'll tell you why. The travel agents that specialize in cruise vacations are going to make sure that they put you on the right ship. The worst thing you can do is take a cruise vacation and be put on the wrong ship. You won't come back. You won't tell your friends about it. So by talking to a a travel partner, a travel agent that specializes in cruising, and they know what they're talking about, you are guaranteed to have the trip of a lifetime.
You know, a trip of a lifetime used to be a nice meal with other people you never knew before, sitting at a table every night or lunch or whatever, and then enjoying a Broadway-like show on the ship and the ice carvings and the various things that are very traditional with cruising. But now we're seeing amusement parks. We're seeing ships / amusement parks with sky rides, and you've got one coming out with a roller coaster. And what is up with that? What the hell?
What the hell? I'll tell you, Hal, it's driven by the consumer. This is what they want.
Say they want amusement parks on ships.
They want bright, they want new, they want shiny, they want experiences that will live with them forever. And where else can you ride a roller coaster on a cruise ship, suspended in the air, sky ride, or do a trampoline park? Where else can you do that?
With me, I would jump on the trampoline and I would end up in the ocean. That's what would happen with me because I'm such a klutz.
Yeah.
What's that? But I found the sky ride kind of interesting to look at the video of that because that's kind of cool. It's kind of like a sky bicycle.
It is. And there's two of them that go around a track and they're very safe.
You have to stand in line to get on them?
You do. And they're very popular. But again, that's one of the things that attract guests to taking a cruise vacation.
Is it necessary to have golf on a ship? I mean, I've seen that.
The putt-putt golf?
Yeah, yeah. Any kind of golf.
Yeah.
Why is that important?
Families love it. And you know, it's an activity that all family members can do. So you've got mom and dad and their kids and their parents. So there's generally three generations of families that are enjoying these types of activities.
But do you ever get to a point where you have too much? There's too much stimulation. I mean, look, for the kids, there's the party at the disco lounge, and there's the ice cream social, and there's the captain's social, and there's this one with whiskey sours, and that one with whiskey sours. Is there ever a danger of you just overdo it?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because everything is a choice. You can try to do it all. Or, like you said earlier, you can go out on the balcony and finish that bestseller that you want to do and just get away from all of it. And so it really is all about choices, things that you can do, things that you can experience, different foods that you can taste, and at the same time, being with loved ones, your family, coworkers. It could be a class reunion. It could be a family reunion. There's something for everybody, and I think that's why cruising is so popular with the public.
For people who have never cruised, now I know that I don't necessarily get seasick, but I've always had that little patch you put on the back of your ear that has medication on a time release to help you keep your equilibrium. What do you tell people about their first cruise, about the potential for not being able to handle it, not having their sea legs yet, that sort of thing?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to figure out when were they sick and were they on a small fishing boat? Were they on a
How about a little ship? Boat to Catalina sometimes will throw you off,
so
right?
So you look at the little boat to Catalina and compare it to the size of the vessels that are out there today. These are like floating malls, right?
Right, they have stabilizers, but I've seen those big ships still hit swells.
So there are some products that help you overcome that. Now, Sclomalapine, which is, I believe, what you described.
Right. That's the medication that's inside what look like little round Band-Aids that you stick on the back of your ear.
There's some side effects, and it can make you drowsy. You really shouldn't mix alcohol with it. But there's a product called C-Bands, which it looks like a wristband, and it uses acupressure, and it helps equalize that. And of course, when you're feeling that the seasickness, by getting up and looking at the horizon, drinking a little ginger, you'll be fine.
You know, I'm going to ask you about the new ship line and all of that, but I did want to ask you, what is the most popular destination?
For Carnival or for...
Carnival.
For Carnival. Well, we're a warm water destination, so we do all of the Caribbean, Mexican Riviera, the Gulf. We do have seasonal cruises up to Alaska and Canada, Hawaii. But for the most part, people want to cruise in the warm Caribbean waters with Carnival, the Bahamas, Mexico.
I don't know. I got to tell you, the Alaskan trip... And I don't remember if that was a Carnival. I think it was other cruise lines. But I've been there three times on ships. Mm-hmm. And it's colder and it's misty in August and it's light rain. But it has a certain charm, a certain romance, a certain ambiance you get when you're in that kind of an environment. And I've been in the tropical environments and I love the steel drums. But they're all very different.
They are different experiences. And you know what people say about Alaska is that you leave a little bit of your soul there to – ensure your return. So you've been there three times?
Three times.
That's typical. Once you go there, you fall in love with it, and you'll want to do it again and again.
I think it's amazing. I mean, and just the nature of it. You see the glaciers, and you see the calving, and you see a lot of stuff going on you'd never see here in the mainland because we're just not that far north.
That's right.
It's really hard to believe that you're in the United States when you're in Alaska. You see their flag, which looks a little like the Milky Way constellation, mm-hmm. and then you see the American flag, and you go, wow, I'm still in the United States.
Yeah, and when you combine a cruise and a land portion to Alaska, you really get the best of both worlds.
Well, I've done that. I've taken a land train to Denali Park and on.
And if you don't, this is what I say. It's like driving all the way to Disney World and sitting in the parking lot. You really got to get out of the car and get into the park to really see the beauty and everything Alaska has to offer.
Tell me about your new ship. You've got these things come in sort of packages, and they have names like the Vista series.
Right.
And so there's one ship called Vista, one Horizon, one Panorama, but they're all very similar because they're all the same series. Another series might come out in a few years. It is different looking, has different features, but they're all of that series. Tell me about this Vista series.
So the Vista series is the latest class of ships that we have at Carnival, and the Vista and her sisters, as we say, the Horizon, and you mentioned the Panorama, they're all about 133,000 tons. They hold about 4,000 guests and 1,500 crew. But the layout is the same, but what changes are the name of the rooms, name of the dining rooms, the ambiance, the colors. And so even if you've been on the Vista or the Horizon and now you want to try the Panorama out of Long Beach, you'll have the familiarity of the ship, but everything will be different if you understand what that means. So it makes sense to do sister ships like this because guests like that familiarity.
Has there always been a Lido deck? Or is it Lido?
Lido.
Yeah, has there always been a Lido deck?
Always.
It seems like that's a name you see on every elevator of any ship. Yeah, who is Lido?
Lido means fun, right? So I
is that right?
I don't know. I just made that up. But on our Lido decks, you're going to find the pool and the food. And I think that's...
Is that always the case?
That's where you're going to find the food. And I think that's what people really enjoy about vacationing on a cruise.
Just for me, it's the solitude. It's the solitude. I mean, the food sometimes is okay. And I'm not talking about your cruise ship line. I'm just talking about the food is sometimes okay. Some of the cruise lines, like Norwegian, and I think you now have separate restaurants that you can go into and pay them separately from the regular. If you want to eat on your cruise price, it's usually in the dining hall. Mm-hmm. Some of these restaurants may be delis. They might be hamburger joints. They might be teppanyaki sort of places. But... is that the move now to give people sort of a variety of food options?
It's all about choices. And you mentioned some of those things. You know, we partner, again, with brands and experiences that people are familiar with, like Guy Fieri. He has a burger joint on all of our ships, and his burgers are complimentary to all guests on the ship. He now on the Horizon has another restaurant called the Brewhouse Smokehouse where he does his barbecue, again, complimentary to our guests. And so they're able to come on board and try these new experiences and these new foods and at the same time have a more of a traditional cruise if they'd like to go to the dining room like you'd mentioned earlier. It's all about choices.
So let me just ask you, I mean, as people sort of think out their vacations and they sort of think in terms of, well, I've never done a cruise before. I wonder if that's an option for me. Mm-hmm. What should be on their checklist of how to determine if it's an option for me?
First of all, I'm going to go back to talking to a knowledgeable travel agent. They're going to help guide you to the right ship, the right experience that's for you. And not only that, one that'll fit your budget and also what you're looking for in your vacation, whether it's a family reunion, whether it's a honeymoon, whether it's a special anniversary. A knowledgeable travel agent will help you find just exactly what you're looking for.
I'd like to ask you about the Panorama. I'd like to ask you about your Long Beach facility where people go to get on and off these ships. Tell me about that. Big improvements there.
Right. So we dock right there at the old Spruce Goose. This is our cruise terminal in Long Beach. We just completed a multi-million-dollar refurbishment of it. And what's so special about it now is that before, because it housed the Spruce Goose, it was only a one-way traffic. So we could either load guests or debark guests. Now we can do both ways. And so with the improvements made there, it's a much more welcoming and a wonderful way to start your cruise vacation.
I'm going to tell you a quick story, and then I've got a couple of final questions. But back a long time ago, my wife and I went to New Year's in the dome of the Spruce Goose. Mm-hmm. And we danced under the wings of the Spruce Goose, which was the famous Howard Hughes airplane. And up on the stage above us were the Righteous Brothers.
Oh, wow. What a great experience.
Listen to you've lost that love and feeling. Yeah. And I got to tell you, that was memorable. And so I have since been on a ship going into that facility. And what do I think about? I think about the Righteous Brothers. Because that was a hell of an experience. I'm sorry, sure. A hell of an experience down there in Long Beach. It was great. It was really great. All right. Final thoughts.
Yeah.
What do you have in mind to leave people with here?
Listen, I think if you're looking for a vacation of a lifetime, one that you'll create memories, ones that will last with you for the rest of your life and through your family's life, a cruise vacation is really it. And I'm talking more than just a Carnival vacation. There's all kinds of cruise experiences out there.
Yeah, I'm interested actually in taking one of those river cruises. I've been thinking about the Danube actually, but let me just ask you about the Panorama, because this ship, like we were starting to talk about, part of that Vista class, it's going to start operating out of Southern California when?
December 11th of this year, December of 2019, and she'll be doing weekend. She'll leave every weekend for 7-day cruises to the Mexican Riviera, Mazatlan, Puerto Vallarta, and Cabo San Lucas.
So that's a standard route. That's not taking anybody anywhere new. It's just taking them on a new boat.
Well, we have. Exactly. We have three ships in Long Beach right now, and one of them is doing that itinerary today. The Panorama will be the first new ship in over 20 years to the West Coast, so we're very excited. She's coming right from the shipyard in Italy to Long Beach.
I guess my question just, I guess this is my final thought. Why the expansion on the West Coast?
The West Coast has always been a very good market for our brand at Carnival Cruise Line. You know, we, as I said earlier, we have three ships right now out of Long Beach. We're introducing cruises out of San Diego and San Francisco in 2020, next year. And so I think the West Coast has always supported Carnival and our brand, and that's why we're bringing the new ships and expanding our home ports.
All right. Well, anchors away.
Thank you very much, Al.
Boy, that makes me want to get back on a ship. Anyway, if you like the podcast, do me a favor, subscribe. The more subscribers, the more of a good feeling I get. And also those 5 little stars where you show how much you like it. Give us 10. What the hell? See you next time.